It's Monday, July 14th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 964, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a managed WordPress site for just $1 a month and a free domain name at GoDaddy, or pick up a domain name for just $1.99. All of my specials can be found, including the 32% off promo code, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, folks, it's great to be back from vacation. I got a great show lined up for you, some cool stuff to announce, and the 9-year anniversary of GoDaddy being a sponsor here. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
A warm aloha to all of you out there that are good long-term fans at geeknewscentral.com, all of the ohana. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. It's great to be back. It's great to have had a fantastic vacation. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. I can't tell you how much I've anticipated this show. I have a lot to share and a lot to get through tonight, not only in tech, but on the personal side. If you're brand new to the show, you're going to have to kind of hang out. Let me chat a little bit here tonight, which we always do at the beginning of the show. But most importantly, again, if you're brand new, I want you to come over to the website and really get connected with the Ohana and get connected with all the content on the website. All you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com. And subscribe to the audio or video feed, whichever twerks your fancy, I guess. And, of course, I've got the special media events feed, the new media show, the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants. Get subscribed to all those shows. Those are our family of shows here at GNC. And there's going to be more shows coming, we hope, starting next week. A lot of stuff to do this week. We'll talk about that as well tonight. And, of course, definitely check out all the content on the website at Geek News Central. I am looking for a couple of writers at this point to join the writing team at Geek News Central, become one of our bloggers. So if you think you've got the chops to do that, definitely send me an email here. And really, it's real easy to do. All you got to do is get your email client out and send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. And whether it be a comment about the show or working with us or whatever you want to do, establishing some sort of relationship, sponsorship, that's the email to use to stay connected and really to hook up with me so that, hey, we can do a deal or make a comment or whatever it may be. All comments get read at the end of the show, so feel free to send those in. You can reach out to us on Google+, on Facebook, on Twitter. Of course, on Twitter, it's at Geek News. But really, there's no excuse in being able to connect with me here at the show at any time, and I'm readily available to answer your questions and if need be, field a call. But lots going on, and to be honest with you, I want to take just a minute here, and before I really get into the GoDaddy spot, 9 years ago tomorrow will have been the first time that GoDaddy was a sponsor here at Geek News Central. July 15th, 2005 was when they came on board as a sponsor, and they have been here through thick and thin. And really everything I do on this show and what they look at on a month to month basis is the performance of new customers I bring to them. All of you that have bought accounts with them and bought products and you renew, that's all past tense. I'm always measured on how many new people we bring to their business each month. And they've been satisfied with the numbers that I brought to be able to maintain this long-term relationship, and largely it's because of you folks, the new listeners that come on and pick up products and services from them. But really, the deals is what really makes this relationship happen. They put great deals together that really are second to none, and I want you guys to be able to use all the codes that GoDaddy shares with me to basically save yourself a lot of money. Now, you guys have literally saved millions of dollars using GoDaddy products and services throughout the years. And they have been responsible for, I talk about this a lot, and I've said this for many, many years, in keeping the lights on. They keep this show, they keep my family fed. They do a lot of things that bring monetary income to me to do what I do here and to go to CES and do those events. We've talked about how much that cost in the past. So I really wholeheartedly want to thank GoDaddy for being really the backbone sponsor of this show for many, many years, and we hope for many, many more years as well. As you guys know, for a long time, we carried two primary sponsors on the website, even though the current one of the primary sponsors that was run before has went on and started doing different things in different mediums. Really, GoDaddy's been here from the beginning, and what we want you to do is we want you to save money, and that's really what it boils down to when you're looking at GoDaddy as a potential hosting platform, whether it be domain names, whether it be dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, business servers, mailing list stuff. All this stuff is available over at GoDaddy. And the most important part is when you get to that checkout counter, you use one of the codes I have available for you. Go32OFF1, still available, 32% off your new purchases. Go25OFF5, 25% off your order. Discount includes new top-level domains. GNC199 gets you .com for just $1.99. That's a newer transfer. Press 4, that gets you $1 a month WordPress hosting with a free domain. Geeks 12, $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. And with that, Press 4 was really, really popular last month. And of course, we continue to have the 50% off hosting plans and 50% off website builder and their 10% off their Get Found product. So lots of codes, again, at geeknewscentral.com / GoDaddy. You find all those codes there. And again, we and my family, we appreciate GoDaddy a lot. And, I'm really proud of the change and the business direction they have taken over the past couple of years. It's made my job much easier to sell this product or promote this product to you guys. And, I use GoDaddy products for domain names, for hosting, you name it. And I tell you, it's hasn't let me down at all so far. So we want you to, I believe in what I use here. And so definitely consider GoDaddy as your next domain or hosting service. And again, we appreciate them very much. So additionally, I want to thank, of course, Don Bain. I want to thank Adrian Bacon and Mr. Mike Dell for being the guest host while I was on vacation. All of you sent comments on all three hosts. I'll be definitely forwarding those comments. If you've got comments for Don, for Adrian, or for Michael, please send those to me at geeknews@gmail.com. But I really want to thank them for allowing me to really truly have a real vacation. And it was fantastic being away, having time off, spending time with the family. A little bit about that. We obviously flew out of here the night of July 3rd. I got into L.A. on the 4th. Immediately drove up to Riverside to meet with my wife and son, or sons, who were already there for the National AYSO soccer tournament. My son's team did fairly well at the tournament, some ups and downs. I had a great time. That was the most important part. Then we, after the National AYSO tournament, we went to Disneyland, and we were there Monday, Tuesday, and half a day on Wednesday, did both the California Park and, of course, the regular Disneyland Park, rode all the rides. If you're following Facebook, you probably saw pictures of some of the stuff that we did. There's, really had a great time. Parks were not super slammed. And that was a good thing. Line times were reasonable. Heat was pretty hot, but came back with a little more sun, I guess. Most importantly, only gained 5 to 6 pounds on this trip, so that was good. But now I'm back on the program here and making sure that the weight loss can continue to start going down again. But then Wednesday, we got in the car. We were staying on the Disneyland property at the Grand California Grand Hotel, beautiful hotel. We stayed, our hotel room faced Main Street or whatever it's called, and plenty of shopping experiences where the credit cards got impacted, but left Wednesday about maybe 11:30 noon, and then we drove up to Vallejo, which is just east of San Francisco. Had a fantastic drive. It was fun taking the kids over the grapevine into the San Joaquin Valley, talking about basically what happens there with the produce and the fruit that's raised, and talked about the history and really what and where, you know, that's really a heartland of where a lot of vegetables and fruit come for that end up on your living room or actually your dining room tables and in your kitchens. So we talked about that and the water issues, and the best part was, as I've said here in Hawaii, and get in my car and I can drive 3 hours and I end up my driveway right there. We drove 3 hours and we were down the road. It was fantastic. 80 miles an hour up I-5, and didn't get any tickets, knock on wood. So went up to Vallejo. Then on Thursday, we went to Six Flags, something adventure. Had a great time there. Rode all the coasters 2, 3, 4 times because the lines, again, were not bad at all. Then in the afternoon, we skedaddled and went into San Francisco and checked into the San Francisco Hilton Financial District. Now, this is where I want to share just a little story here. And some of you that were following me on Twitter saw. So we get on there. We got in there about maybe 6, and we had just basically spent driving, going to Six Flags. We were all starved, so we ran up the hotel room, dropped the bags, got back in the elevator, and immediately went into Chinatown, which just a couple blocks away, and searched around for a little while, had a great dinner, kind of looked around a little bit, got back to the hotel, and I'm like, all right, hit the showers. And, well, the first indication something was up in the hotel was when we got back, they had all the elevator banks except for one elevator shut down. Now, we found out later that they had more elevators down in the what the maids use. We found out those were open later, but they were doing some sort of maintenance on the elevator. So there was only one elevator up. It took us about 15 minutes to get into the room. A little irritated about the elevator thing. That was, you know, not necessarily a big deal. First kid in the shower is like, Dad, the shower's not hot. And I went into the room and the water was basically like 1 degree above cold. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And you know, I've got the hot water full blast and no hot water. And I'm just like, you have got to be kidding me. So I'm like, why is there no hot water? So I called down to the front desk and she said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You weren't told during check-in. Yeah, we've turned the hot water off for the evening and there'll be no hot water to 4 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, what? Because we had checked in early enough that I could have got all of us through the shower and then went eat. I was flipping mad. And it turns out there was a paper in the room set up by the TV. We didn't even notice it. We came in the room, dropped our stuff and skedaddled, right? And of course, there's the notice. We're having sorry for the inconvenience. So I was at that time, I was kind of like up to here. And those of you listening, my pissed off meter was pegged. And so I made a tweet, you know, WTF, Hilton, no water, elevators except for one are broke. It was kind of one of those tweets. And lo and behold, about an hour later, and there was a response from Hilton Cares. Their tweet said, we've looked your account information up. We're contacting the manager. About 30 minutes after that, there was a tweet back from the manager. By that time, it was pretty late. Or maybe it was the next morning the manager tweeted back. And so I was, okay, I could deal with the whole situation with no hot water. Okay. It happens sometimes. I've stayed in hotels before, you know, but the thing is I was grimy, dirty, and you know, just a bit on the opposite side of being nice. Well, the next morning we got up, got into the hotel, went up to 26th floor where they have breakfast, and had a nice continental breakfast, fantastic layout, a nice spread. Can't complain about that at all, and got all done, and I'm okay, we're on the clock. We got to go. And went to the elevator bank and pushed the down button, and there's no light. The light didn't come on. Pushed a button, and I got a couple of kids are kind of like giving the old, you know, the squeamish things like, we need to go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, you guys go. We're staying at 21st floor. You guys go to the 21st floor, go to the bathroom. We'll, as soon as we get the elevator, we'll meet you at the 21st floor. Well, by this time, there's like 10 people. We're all sitting there trying to push the button, and the buttons didn't work. So I picked up the, there was a phone right there beside the elevator. I picked the phone up, and I called the, I said, we don't, the elevators aren't working. And the operator says, yes, sir, the lights aren't working, and we're trying to fix it. Well, with the stuff from the night before and the stuff the morning, I flipped. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. So I just texted the kids and I said, try the elevators on your floor. If they don't work, take the stairs. I'll meet you in the lobby. So down I go, 26 floors, which, you know, luckily I wasn't going up, I was going down, but I was still irritated. I got to the bottom of the stairs, boom, out in the lobby. I went to the front desk and I said to the lady, I'm like, what's going on? The elevators aren't working. And she goes, sir, we have no idea what's wrong with the elevators. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't have any idea what's going on with the elevators? Your hotel operator knows there's an issue. And I said, are you not knowing what's going on in your hotel? Guests are stuck. They can't get off the, and I don't know if it was just 26th floor, but the lady at the, on the, the operator on the other phone, she knew there was an issue. By that time, everybody can congregate. And I said, forget it. We're gone. And of course I tweeted the guy, the manager back, and I said, hey, I just walked down 26 steps. What's wrong with your elevators? And off we went. Well, it's gone all day. We got back pretty late to the hotel room. No problems getting the hotel up. The elevator went, boom, boom, got in the room, opened the door, and lo and behold, in the room. Now, this is where Hilton went above and beyond. And I'm sure if I hadn't tweeted and made the call instead of social meeting it, it would have been the same. But in my room was a nice bottle of wine, a six-pack of Heineken's. There was a fruit and cheese spread. Napkins, plates, everything needed there to kind of serve that up nice. I thought, well, fantastic gesture. This is, you know, was unexpected, but very appreciated. I retweeted back and they left a little note on the table. I'd used points to book the hotel and they sent me a little note and the manager basically said, compliments to the hotel. Sorry for your inconvenience. And they credited me one night stay. And that shocked me big time because I've never had in all the years, and I've had other issues at hotels from time to time, very rarely, but I've never had them give me a whole night stay. So they gave me one whole night stay in a very expensive hotel, which I think was about 42 or 45,000 points that they credited back to my account. And I was really, really impressed. Now, I'm going to give Hilton kudos here. They don't know me from Adam. I haven't stayed as many days in the hotel, their chain, this year as I have in past years. Normally, it's 60 to 70 days a year. This year, like 10 to 15, so the numbers aren't up as high this year. But I'm still a pretty loyal Hilton customer. But they went above and beyond to make me happy. And the Hilton team, in my opinion, and the social media team, huge, huge, huge kudos. And this is the type of stuff that makes me very proud to be a Hilton's member and basically having points. I think I 500 some thousand, almost 600,000 frequent stay points there, whatever they call it, with their Hilton Honors program. And so they're not paying for this. I just want to tell you guys this. This is how social media is done right. And it reminds me kind of a little bit going back to 9 years ago. If those of you here at the beginning remember, I had a big bitch about GoDaddy in the early days and some issues I had that they fixed, that they responded to, not necessarily by social media at that time, but by email, that turned into a fantastic long-term relationship. So I'm not saying that's going to happen with this, but it's kind of has some parallels that are very cool. And I'm no problem. You know, there's a reason why I only had like 12,000 Marriott points. And Hilton took care of us, and absolutely fantastic. They didn't have to go to the level that they did. And I'm definitely going to be tweeting about this part of the show, and I hope the Hilton people listen. And the manager over there, fantastic job. And we appreciate it. Me and my family felt welcome, and that really was important. So anyway, that's what happened at the hotel. We went through, anyway, stayed in San Francisco. We went to Alcatraz. We went to a bunch of museums, did a lot of walking. I think I did 25,000 steps a day or something like that on the old Fitbit here. Really, you need more time in San Francisco. So by Saturday afternoon, by about 4, we were done. And we started to drive back to Los Angeles. I booked a stay at the Hilton LAX. Used points to stay there too. We had already pre-scheduled, so we bounced in there, got in there about midnight, had about 5 hours stay. Another beautiful room. And by the way, the room at the San Francisco Hilton Financial District, a view to die for. Fantastic. And if you haven't seen some of my stuff on Facebook, look. But again, at LAX, Hilton, perfect room, nice setup. In and out, we were only there 5 hours, but got enough sleep, got on the airplane and came home. And got back yesterday morning. So I've spent a lot of time talking about the trip, but I just wanted to share that with you guys. Great family time. Great. It was just perfect. It really was. So during this trip, my wife and I had a lot of time in the car to talk about what's going on, the show, where we're at, where we want to be, talk about some of the goals that we missed and some goals that we want to hit. And you know, I was talking with her. I said, how do we... You know, we've got the GNC Insider thing, but I said, you know, it's worked out great. We've got a great number of folks that are supporting the show, but how do we revamp that and make that something new and make it more applicable as we approach the 1,000th show? And she said, well, why don't you come up with something like the GNC 1000? And it's like, you know, like a race. You say, you know, you're a race fan. It's the Indy 500, but you got the GNC 1000. And I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool, kind of a program. So what I want to do is the insider thing is going to stay in place, but we're going to kind of restructure it a little bit. And what I want to do is the goal is to have 1,000 of you in at a minimum support level each month that will hit some tiers. And, you know, I think we're going to have like Ohana Warrior, Ohana Chiefs. We'll have some different levels, and I got to come up with the right terminology, got to make sure we're not disparaging the Hawaiian culture or anything like that. Ohana, of course, means family, so family warriors, family chiefs. It's going to have that kind of a vibe, and I think what we're going to start out with is try to start out where there's a minimum commitment to be at like the Ohana warrior level, and that would be like at $125 a year a commitment. And then it would go up from there, like Ohana Chiefs, $250 a year and so forth. Now, some of you on the Insider Program are already going to hit these tiers and would automatically qualify for these new tiers. But you'd be able to use that in correspondence to the show, and that's how I would address you. It'd be Ohana Warrior last name or whatever name you wanted to come up with. But we're going to come up with tiers, and there's going to be some sort of corporate designation as well, and those will start at a much higher level per year. And we'll have some benefits to go with it. But really, the goal is to get 1,000 of you. Now, those of you that can only contribute to $2 a month or something like that, that will still come up with something for you guys. But really, what we want to do is we want to get the show to the point where, at a minimum, we're raising about $125,000 a year through listener donations that will allow us really to do a lot of things that we haven't been able to do and things that we wanted to do for a number of years. And that will allow us to pay some of our Geek News Central team members that are producing content, a good base rate that is higher than what, it's basically going to make it sustainable to have those shows long-term, be able to bring new shows on, new talent. So really what we're going to have is with this GNC 1000. And the goal is by the time we hit the 1,000th show is to have 1,000 of you at that minimum $125 a month support level. And if we can get to that point where we have 1,000 people doing a minimum of $125 a month, I'll never bring another sponsor onto the show, with one exception. If someone comes in and does a corporate donation of $1,000 or more, then they're going to get a couple of ad spots. We'll do that. But again, it's going to be the same type of, they're going to be in that tier or that caste system that we're going to set up. And really what it's all about at this point with the show, and I know I've taken a long time to talk here today, not getting into the tech, and we will definitely keep that time shorter as move past the show, but it's value for value. I'm producing two great shows a week for you, pouring my heart into creating the content. We're going to slow down a little bit and talk about some of the pieces a little deeper, trying to really make sure we stay focused and you guys can enjoy the show and we have fun doing it. So that's what we're gonna put together, and I'll get that ready, and we'll have that fully implemented in a couple of days. And what it'll be is you can come in at $12.50 a day, and then when you reach the $125 amount, you'll get that title, Ohana Warrior, and it will be an annual thing to renew. The same thing with Ohana Chiefs and so forth at the $250 level a year. But really, we think the $12.50 range, really kind of from a standpoint of looking to see where we want to be, you know, if you take $12.50 and you divide that by 8, it's just $1.50 a show, really $1.56 a show. And we hope that the value of the show is bringing at least $1.50's worth of value. And we're going to do some stuff to add to make sure you get that in monetary. Each time we do the show, I'm going to try to find something that'll give you at least that much in savings, or have something that'll give you that much in productivity gain each podcast. So that's kind of where we're going to go. Love to hear guys' feedback on this. And again, the insider stuff, we're going to kind of tie that together. But again, it's going to be the GNC 1000, and we're going to have levels, Ohana Warrior, the Ohana Chief, and the Ohana Big Kahuna, and stuff like that. It's really going to be a lot of fun, and trying to stick with the Hawaiian theme. And I hope that you guys will come in and support the show. I'm not going to do the fundraising for CES. This will be the fundraising mechanism for the show going forward, and we hope that you will. Now, don't get me wrong, the GoDaddy part, it's really, that's a base amount of sponsorship that I have to maintain. I really do. And we'll keep the Go, you know, as long as GoDaddy wants to sponsor the show, they'll be there. If we get to the point where we have the GNC 2000, you know, we can talk about that. You know, we can talk about changing up some stuff, but we definitely want to work initially on the first 1,000 people that will come in and support the show at a minimum of $125 a year. It can be a one-time donation, or you can work at it monthly to get to that point. Value for value, and spend a lot of time doing content as well. And we can take the show longer or shorter. It all depends on how the audience drives it. But I've spent a long time here just yakking about the stuff that happened. I'm excited to be back with you guys. I really am. And I really want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here and basically allowing me to go on vacation and having really a great time with my family and recharge the batteries here to be back with you. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and kick into the full content here before I waste the whole show chatting about this other stuff, because I've yakked here a lot longer than I had originally expected to. Hopefully camera angles are good, because I had these things stashed in a safe place while we were gone. Nothing happened to the house. The only thing that happened while we were gone is when I got home and I opened the back door and went into my backyard, I smelt something very, very bad. No, it wasn't a trash can. No, it wasn't. What it was is some poor cat decided to use my garden as his final resting place. And the cat had been there 5 or 6 days. And you can imagine, I went around to all my neighbors. Did you guys smell anything coming out of my back? Oh, yeah, we smelled something back here that it was really bad. We weren't even, we thought it was someone's garbage can. I'm like, are you missing a cat? But we think it was a stray that runs around here before. And he went in the back corner of my garden area that I have. It's a really small garden. We can't, in Hawaii, you don't have big gardens like you do in the mainland. But it was like in this really hard place to get that really added to the, I guess better word, yuck factor and getting the cat out. But yeah, some cat decided to die in my garden while I was gone. And it was pretty bad. What the heck is going on here? Oh, don't do that to me. Okay, everything's good. I have to check some connections. I've had my audio machine shut down on me twice. It's running fine now. The TriCaster has the videos blinked twice. Everything's, you know, not, it's punishing me for not being live here with it. But anyway, okay, so let's go ahead and get into the tech. And I've yacked a lot. Ingress has invaded iOS. Google's augmented reality game that I absolutely love is available for the iPhone. So all you iPhone users out there, you need to now immediately pick up your phone and go to the App Store. Search for Ingress. Then this is going to get you in shape. You're going to lose weight. You're going to get in shape by playing this game. This is the tip of the day for you to get healthy. Besides my Perium thing, myperium.com/podcast. But anyway, download Ingress. Choose the resistance. Don't be enlightened. Come on. It's not cool to be enlightened. You have to be a resistance player. You're a geek. You got to resist, right? You got to beat down the man. So become part of the resistance and join this augmented reality game that I absolutely love and play it now. So I had it on my iPhone. I've been played a little bit today with it to see how it worked on the iPhone. Works great. There's going to be some revisions and some updates to it here soon. They're going to bring some new features that are only on the Android side, but it's completely playable. And join the resistance. And let me know what your in-game name is. And definitely, we want to build the Geek News Central resistance team on Ingress. And so anyway, definitely check it out. All right, second thing up tonight is there's an interesting article over on The Intercept at firstlook.org and talks about the secretive British spy agency GCHQ apparently developed a tool to seed the internet with false information, including the ability to manipulate the results of online polls, artificially inflate page view counts on websites, amplify sanctioned messages on YouTube, and censor video content judged to be extremist. The capabilities detailed in a document provided by Edward Snowden even includes an old standby for pre-adolescent prank callers everywhere to connect two unsuspecting phone users together in a call. So imagine that. Polls being, just think about the implications here. Just poll manipulation. You're not happy with who is running for office? You run some polls and you come up with some, you know, someone runs a poll, a news agency runs a poll or whatever, and they go in there and say, we want that person's numbers to go down. We want to have some negative audience, total. There could be all kinds of manipulation there. Vote manipulation, it blows me away. Again, here we go. More stuff. And talking about, we're just pawns here at this point, right, folks? But false information. Seed the internet with false information. Now, on top of that, the United States government is saying that online storage isn't protected by the Fourth Amendment. As we remember, a couple months ago, a New York judge ruled that a U.S. search warrant applied to digital information even if it was stored overseas. Now, this decision came part of an effort to dig up a Microsoft user account whose information was served was stored in a server in Dublin. Now, Microsoft obviously challenged that, saying that the government's longstanding view is that digital content on foreign servers is wrong, and that in protections applied to physical material should be extended to digital content. In briefs filed last week, however, the U.S. government countered. It states that according to the Stored Communication Act, SCA, I didn't even know this was something, the Stored Communication Act, content stored online simply does not have the same Fourth Amendment protection as physical data. So if you have a CD of your information, that's protected by the Fourth Amendment. But if you have digital data on the cloud, that is not. Overseas records must be disclosed domestically when a valid subpoena order warrant compels their production. Disclosure of records under such circumstances has never been considered tantamount to a physical search under the Fourth Amendment principles. And Microsoft is mistaken to argue that the SCA provides for an overseas search here. As there is no overseas search or seizure, Microsoft's reliance on principles of extraterritorial and comity falls wide of the mark. So, you know, okay, so what does the folks in Ireland have to say? So, in the meantime, a senior counsel for the Irish Supreme Court offered that a mutual legal assistance treaty must be pursued so the United States government can get at the email account in question. So they need a mutual legal assistance treaty. I don't think they're going to get the data. They may be compelled, but this has obviously been appealed, and we're seeing where this leads. But overseas data, they're going to try to get it. We'll see. At the same time, U.S. web companies are pressing demands for net neutrality with the FCC, and they've launched a website called battleforthenet.com. And this is kind of an interesting move by, well, in all companies, it's by the cable companies. Now, let me bring this up for you guys here, those of you who are watching. It says, cable companies, we are in the battle for the net. Cable companies are spending millions to gut the net neutrality and slow your internet to a crawl. We can't let them. Take action now. Congress and the FCC must hear from all of us now. This important comment period ends on Tuesday night. So net neutrality is the First Amendment of the internet. The principle that internet service providers treat all data equally. So here's another place to take action. But again, going back to web companies, U.S. web companies press demands for net neutrality. Major U.S. web companies of money urge regulators restrict the ability of internet providers, including mobile carriers, to strike deals for faster delivery of some traffic and plan a publicity campaign about the government's proposal. The Internet Association, which represents three dozen web companies such as Google, Netflix, Amazon, made their case in a filing with the FCC, which plans to establish a new so-called net, which plans to establish new net neutrality rules. The rules guide how internet service providers manage traffic on their network, aiming to ensure they do not unfairly limit customer access to the website. So we know that in January, a court ruling struck down the FCC's previous version. So in its comments on Monday, the Internet Association criticized the possibility of ISPs charging content providers for enhanced or priority access and called for equal internet traffic rules for both wired and wireless networks. They say the internet is threatened by broadband internet access providers who would turn the open best efforts internet into a pay-for-priority platform more closely resembling cable television than today's internet. The Internet Association urged that allowing technical, reasonable network management should give ISPs enough flexibility to deal with congested networks. So, again, now what's behind this battle for the net is basically the team that's really trying to force a toll, Comcast, Verizon, Cox, Time Warner, AT&T, Charter, they're all really, they want to have external companies pay a toll. We've talked about this many, many times. So again, the battle for the net, your last day to comment is Tuesday at midnight Eastern Standard Time. So you must, if you haven't done it already, you need to submit your comment today. demand progress and fight for the future. Okay, we have to fight this. We really do. And so you guys need to go over here. Battleforthenet.com. If you haven't already made a comment, tomorrow, Tuesday, July 15th is the last day you can make a comment. Do not let your voice not be heard one way or the other. Speaking of toll booths, Verizon Fios Netflix speed tanks as finger pointing by both companies continue. Verizon Fios subscribers continue to see buffering Netflix streams, and the situation apparently getting worse. Netflix's latest ISP speed index saw the average speed of Netflix streams watched by Fios customers decline to 1.58 megabits in June, down from 1.9 megs in May, and well below the average speed on other ISPs. Average speed of Netflix streams requested by Cablevision customers is 3.1. In June, and Comcast customers got their Netflix fare with an average of 2.61. Verizon actually used to fare a lot better in Netflix ISP speed index. Last fall, Netflix streams to Fios customers still averaging up to 2.2 megs per second. But speeds have been in free fall since January. And they're both saying, and they're saying both are each your fault. Hey, I do have to comment. Here in Hawaii, we came back to trade winds with high humidity. We got a front that's moving through. I've got the fan. If you hear the fan up there, I apologize, but I just cranked it up to the highest level because it's kind of gross. I got water, sweat running down my back. That's how hot it is here in the studio. So I had to crank things up. So if you hear the whistle of the fan, it's just because your devoted host here is cooking in the seat at this moment. All right, Dish can keep streaming TV anywhere after Fox Arrow's argument fails. So much for clarity here. Make sure I got this right. The Supreme Court, after the Supreme Court shut down Arrow for streaming TV over the internet without permission, a court in California has given the green light for satellite TV company Dish to continue selling a service that does really the same thing. The only difference is Dish has a license already for the content. In a short ruling issued on Monday, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals refused a request by Fox to shut down Dish Anywhere, which lets consumers record the broadcaster shows on a DVR and then beam them over the internet to a computer or mobile device. In its ruling, the Ninth Circuit upheld a lower court's finding that Fox was unlikely to suffer serious harm if Dish Anywhere was not shut down pending a copyright trial. So this is going to muddy the water further here. But needless to say, it's a good win for Dish, but, we got conflicting court stuff now. All right, is BitTorrent TV on the horizon? Is BitTorrent's big push into mobile live streaming? Apparently, BitTorrent is looking to revive its live streaming effort with a new product name and new staff. It has job offers posted that basically are the company's looking for television folks. The company shut down its previous live streaming test, BitTorrent Live, which we tried here for a little while in February, and said at the time it would shift its focus to mobile live streaming. Now it looks like it may rebrand those efforts as BitTorrent TV. And one of the job listings was, this position is for a PM leader of a new BitTorrent TV product among BitTorrent's new initiatives that leverages the power of BitTorrent peer-to-peer protocol. This product aims to introduce the world to a scalable, inexpensive live stream technology. Looking for C-plus engineers, blah, 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 blah. So interesting to see what's going to happen there. In the name of security, German NSA committee may turn to typewriters. Well, apparently, Monday morning on German public television, a guy by the name of Sensberg said that the committee is taking operational security very seriously. In fact, we already have a typewriter, and it's even a non-electric typewriter. If Sensberg's suggestion takes flight, the country would be taking a page out of the Russian playbook. Last year, the agency charged securing communications from the Kremlin announced that it wanted to spend 468,000 rubles or $14,800 to buy 20 electric typewriters as a way to avoid digital leaks. Oh, man. Wow. So apparently last week they had a internally, they arrested someone that worked at the German spy agency. Apparently, he was working for our Central Intelligence Agency. That's what he's been accused of. But apparently, they are so scared of using computers and having a digital copy of a file that they are going to go old school. And that should make some of the companies that still make typewriters very, very happy. And not, can you imagine having to type out correspondence? Oh, it's going to be in the old days, and maybe it's still this way in some companies, and I don't think so, but they used to have huge, huge, huge pools of secretaries that did nothing but take dictation and type out stuff on typewriters. Now we just do everything by email. I don't think there's too many secretary pools anymore. I think that job is went by with the change in times. I may be wrong. No offense, but I just can't see having banks of people once again using non-electric typewriters to out correspondence. Now, T-Mobile's filed an emergency petition filed with the FCC. T-Mobile accuses AT&T and Verizon of hoarding spectrum for anti-competitive benefits, then overcharging consumers via usage caps. We understand all about that. The company argues that isn't technically necessary to hear T-Mobile tell it. AT&T and Verizon then use the duopoly power to hoard spectrum to limit competitors, then charge those underpositioned competitors an arm and a leg for roaming connectivity, jacking up prices for everyone in the process. T-Mobile was urging the FCC to force companies like AT&T and Verizon offer roaming connectivity to competing companies for significantly lower rates. Consumer costs were recently cut in half after European regulations capped roaming rates. So they've got some precedents there based on what's happening in Europe. China. The Chinese state media have been warning that Apple iPhones is a threat to national security despite the firm's denials. Why? It's all down to the iPhone's creepy ability to track users and transmit data back to the Cupertino overlords. A report on the broadcast on CCTV claimed the people's iPhone's frequent location function was dangerously intrusive into the lives of citizens. This is extremely sensitive data, researcher told CCTV. He went on to claim the iPhone could provide information about the nation's economy and even state secrets. China has every reason to be nervous of American spies, although it's far from certain that Apple's working on behalf of any agency. What about Android? Oh, we all know their phones to keep track of where we're at. That's nothing new. iPhone a threat to national security. Go ahead, try to stop people from using it. Now, on a more serious note, the FBI found U.S. military aircraft intel during a raid on an alleged Chinese hacker. Now, I don't know where they apprehended this guy, but apparently a Chinese entrepreneur has been arrested for attempting to steal information on the United States Lockheed F-22 and F-35 aircraft and the Boeing C-17 cargo plane. Su Bin, along with two uncharged Chinese conspirators, alleged to have hacked into Boeing's corporate network as well as those of defense contractors in the U.S. and Europe to gain information. The accused said an email would help China stand easily on the giant's shoulders. So, this corporate espionage and military espionage continues to be a way of life and just goes to show we live in a data age and the hackers are going to do everything they can to get data that they're not supposed to have their hand on. But I tell you, the folks at Boeing and other defense contractors, including the U.S. government, need to make sure their systems are locked down and these hackers just can't go in and get what they want. This is the type of data we do not need going to them where they can just, they are the artist in reconditioning stuff and rebuilding, and they can't create anything original on their own, so they have to copycat all our stuff. They do it very well, so the least amount of stuff we allow to go over there, the better. But anyway, that made the news today. All right, a private space company has launched its third mission, an Antares rocket sending a freighter packed with food, among other things, to the International Space Station. Orbital Science Corporation unmanned Cygnus spacecraft lifted off from Virginia's eastern shore yesterday, strapped to a 13-story high Antares rocket, which is built using a modified Russian MK-33 engine. Its cargo hold was stuffed with food, scientific gear, and a flock of mini satellites, including new gym gear. So the guys that are, and gals are up there that are exercising don't stink so bad. So good. Another cargo craft on the way. Let's see here. Those of you in the UK, I'm not up to speed on this, but apparently your ISPs were blindsided by the UK government's emergency data retention investigation powers law that's being pushed forth. Apparently, the emergency data retention investigation powers bill currently being rushed through Parliament has caught ISPs off guard. The Register understands that telcos were only gently briefed on the plans they have last week announced from Prime Minister David Cameron. Industry source said ISPs has been blindsided by the move, which came days before Politico's break for summer recess. The bill surprised many by quickly securing cross-party support prior to publication last Thursday. At the same time, Prime Minister Cameron and Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg, whose Liberal Democratic Party had opposed Home Security Theresa May's lobby for information data law, which was dubbed a snooper charter, insisted that the legislative push would not extend UK surveillance powers. But there's been a couple of major flags there that people are basic data retention and some redefinitions of telecommunication services, which are going to roll up the ISPs into data retention laws, basically making it easier to get data for longer periods of time. So those of you in the UK, if you're interested in that, be aware that that's coming down the pike. It's probably going to be voted on very, very quickly. Tesla has got the go-ahead to have 5 stores in Pennsylvania. So if you're looking for a Tesla, and I just had a buddy buy one. Oh, what a beautiful vehicle. Someday, maybe I'll be able to afford one. I don't know. But Tesla gets a go-ahead. And again, 5 stores in Pennsylvania. If you've got the, what is it, $80,000? That's just, you know, to me, that's just wrong. $80,000 for a car? It seems like that's a lot of money for one vehicle, you know, considering that, you know, for many of us, you're not here in Hawaii, but for many of you that live in the United States, as long as you live outside of California, New York, and some other high-cost areas, you know, $80,000 is halfway to a pretty doggone nice house. You know, for some, $80,000 is a house. To consider $80,000 for a car is pretty insane, but... That's the way they roll. Astronomers invent a new telescope by tying telephoto lenses together. A team of Yale astronomers got a little crafty recently in an attempt to see parts of space that their big fancy telescopes weren't showing them. They tied 8 telephoto lenses together to create their own little homemade array. And then thanks to their new invention, they quickly discovered 7 new galaxies. And basically, they're the type of lenses that are used at like events like the World Cup. And I don't know whether to boo with Germany winning or not. I thought one of the countries in South America would have won. But anyway, that's how World Cup turned out. Of course, you know, now the Americans won't care about soccer/football, as you call it, outside the United States for a while. But anyway, these lenses... we're put together in an array, and this is kind of cool. What they've done there is it's kind of like a phased array, and they take the data in, and then they mesh it together, and they process it. I'm sure there's some noise processing that goes on, but essentially what they've done, they've created a bigger lens using many lenses working together. Pretty cool. A special coating that suppresses internally scattered light made it easier for the telescopes to see diffuse light of new dwarf galaxies. So the Yale team hopes that their new telescope will help them see all kinds of previously undiscovered celestial objects, including debris caused by galaxies colliding long ago. So pretty cool stuff. You don't have to go blow up a mountain in South America to make exciting new astronomy discoveries, for sure. Now, a book out of this, a page out of this lawsuit that's going on right now over the suppression of poaching employees from one company to the other. There was a ruling that was made by a judge. Basically, Google was trying to have emails suppressed and not being put online, but the judge basically released them. The document posted Friday dramatized how Facebook, which was never part of the No Recruiting Pact, disrupted a chummy network among tech giants. Previously released emails showed concerns among Google executives beginning around 2007 as Facebook aggressively courted Google employees. The documents posted Friday by U.S. District Judge Lucy Koh after she considered a motion by Google to have them sealed. Both sides, basically, one of the emails released had two Google directors, Intel CEO Paul Otellini and venture capitalist John Doerr, suggested Google co-founders Sergey Brin and Larry Page personally approached Facebook workers to recruit them. Also, one of the emails was that they were required, there was a Google policy that if an employee was approached by Facebook and they made an offer, an employment offer, and when the employee made that information available to HR that they were considering leaving, go to Facebook, that they were required to have a counter offer within 1 hour back to the employee. So that's pretty crazy stuff here. You know, go to your boss and say, hey, boss, just want to let you know. I've been talking with Facebook. They made me an offer, considering leaving. Boss can say, well, how much should they, you know, can you ask, can you tell me what the offer is? And say, oh, yeah, it's X dollars. He's within 1 hour, they got to have to come back with a counter offer. I don't know how that works in corporate America. You know, someone that's has done that. Do you guys tell? I don't think, you know, when if someone comes to me and says, hey, I want to hire you, do you really go to your employer and tell them that right away? Or is that something you kind of, do you work the deal with Facebook to get as much money as you can? Then you go to your boss, say, okay, here's what I've got on the table. I'm leaving unless, you know, do you do that? How, is that how it's played out? I guess. But they were required to have a counter offer within an hour. So anyway, that's just one of the many emails as part of this policy. All right, switching gears here a little bit. The states where you will most likely be wiretapped. Now, if you live in Nevada, Colorado, California, New York, Arizona, Georgia, Kentucky, Maine, Missouri, New Jersey, Nebraska, Tennessee, you've got a pretty high chance of having a wiretap. So in Nevada, there was 38.2 wiretaps authorizations per 500,000 people in 2013. In Florida, there was 5.1 wiretap authorizations per 500,000 people. Now, according to this email, according to this survey data or this reporting data, Hawaii, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Vermont had zero requests. So that does that mean that there was no wiretaps in Hawaii? Or Montana, or North Dakota, or South Dakota, and Vermont? That, to me, seems extraordinary low. So considering here that we really don't have a huge state population, a couple million people total, that even in Washington, which has I don't know what the population of Washington is, but they had a 0.1%. Wiretap authorization per five. There had to be some wiretaps in Hawaii. It just seems a little weird there would be zero. I mean, there's no crime going on here. I find that hard to believe. But I guess Hawaii, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Vermont, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind, maybe? I don't know. But Nevada was number one at 38.2. Colorado at 12.4. I guess Nevada being the gambling thing, that's probably where the most of them are, I would imagine. But wow. Now, this list only mentions legal wiretapping. SpaceX, they've also launched a satellite. They've lobbed six satellites into orbit, but their landing didn't go so well. They were going to try to do a controlled landing, but I guess the legs just basically came out. They got to a certain point. And hull integrity, they lost hull integrity right after splashdown, a.k.a. kaboom. So I think they're going to have to put one of these on the dirt instead of doing it over the ocean and see what happens. Also, Gizmodo's got a very cool map showing where taxis are going in New York City. See how much of a New York City taxi driver sees in a day. Very cool day in the life of a taxi cab driver. Shows them exactly where the cabs go and frequent, and probably more importantly, where they don't, where you probably are not going to get a cab. But so very cool. And one thing is interesting, the money part of the equation, they watched the entirety of one driver's shift in which he or she appears to have driven about 20 of the 24 hours, probably two different people driving the cab, and earned a total of $351.06 from 42 passengers, or about $334 before taxes. Probably after they paid for the rental of the cab, they figure they're making about 10 bucks an hour. No wonder working for Uber looks so appealing in New York City. I think most cab drivers would make more than that. Maybe not. Also, the movie about hackers is free for 24 hours before it disappears. A Logarithm. I probably just destroyed that. A Logarithm is available. And it's currently only on Vimeo right now. I downloaded it. If you want to get this, you got to get it right away. Go to the link in the show notes, and then you'll look for the Vimeo link. And actually, I just provide the Vimeo link in the show notes. I don't know how long it'll be up, but it's supposed to go down. This is coming out on DVD, but it's an hour and 30-minute video. I don't know if it's any good, but any cool stuff. It's a 480 by 270 version that's available on mobile. It's basically a mobile version, but I'll have a link up in the show notes. Also, if you want to see footage of an armed Palestinian drone flying over Gaza, there's a good one. There's also a video of the Israelis shooting down a Palestinian drone. So, it looks like the Palestinians have gotten some hardware from Iran. Surprise. All right, the NBAA stretches DMCA to breaking point with questionable takedown requests for Popcorn Time repositories. There's a story out how the NBA has pulled down various Popcorn Time repositories off GitHub, and this is a fairly incredible takedown notice. As you know, Popcorn Time is the open source project that some anonymous programmers put together a while back, which puts an apparently amazingly user-friendly interface on a program allowing users to watch all kinds of video online. Of course, many of the videos available via Popcorn Time are not online as authorized version, but unauthorized version, meaning the use of Popcorn Time to watch those videos often infringing someone's copyright. And now, I've never used Popcorn Time myself, but I've heard from a few people say it's so good they find it more much convenient than using things like Netflix. So they're trying to pull the GitHub repository of that down. But don't worry, I'm sure that will live another life in many, many places. TechDirt, which was sued for $10 million in a frivolous lawsuit, which was dismissed, has the complete comical rundown of what happened in this individual who was trying, who's actually, by reading this article, which I spent some time today doing because it was pretty funny, the guy that was doing the suing has obviously got, in my opinion, some issues. And I'll say that again, in my opinion, has some issues. It appears, in my opinion, that he's kind of racist. Not the folks at TechDirt, but the individual suing TechDirt appears to say some stuff that wowed me, that he put in some court filings using the N-word and some other choice language that just, you know, in this day and age is completely unacceptable. Or any time, any day and age was unacceptable. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. Just to read through this was pretty crazy. Some people get in a, you just wonder a little bit about individuals' mental state, really. In my opinion, that guy's got some issues. Home Depot has begun selling MakerBot 3D printers. So that's pretty cool. The pilot program will offer the MicroSave MakerBot replicator printers at $2,899 for sale, as well as smaller replicator minis, which is $1,300. And this is going to supposedly open the world to 3D printing. So this is kind of interesting that they're going to be available in Home Depot. And I do have to applaud Home Depot for doing a couple of things for some veterans recently. Definitely driving me to use them, give them my business a lot more. Also, there's a talk about a tech startup that was created by a guy by the name of Brian Mayer. He created a service called Reservation Hop that really, really upset the San Francisco community. It was basically a reservation system that would basically book up a whole bunch of reservations, then he would resell primetime reservations in fantastic restaurants, and wasn't something that was very nice. Not a nice app at all. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this, but he's had a change of heart and going to do something different. A scientific journal has retracted 60 papers linked to fraudulent peer review ring. One of the largest publishers of scientific journals retracting, again, 60 papers after internal investigation found that they had been part of an orchestrated ring of fraud. In a statement released last week, Sage Publications said it uncovered a series of papers published in the journal Vibration and Control between 2010 and 2014 that had been sent to be peer-reviewed by people using false identities. Sage believes that the ring is centered around the work of Peter Chen from the National Ping Tong University of Education. I don't even know where that's at. And potentially others from his university. So where's that at? Ping Tong. That sounds like a Chinese university. Maybe not, but maybe so. Yeah, maybe it is. It looks like it's Chinese. Yeah, just like Chinese firms saying they have so much money in the bank and then they don't. Seems to be a lot of stuff going on right now with Chinese held companies on the New York Stock Exchange and that are being delisted because of weirdo financial reporting. All right, Mexico's president signs a telecommunication reform into law, basically breaking up the conglomerate there and trying to take control, a little bit of control away from American Movil, who has some 70% of Mexico's mobile market. So I don't know if what that's going to end up happening for the folks over there in Mexico. But one thing's for sure. Oh, crap. I just screwed myself up, didn't I? Yep, I did. Let me... shouldn't have done that. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Anything done in Mexico, I think, is always political and monetarily motivated. All right, there's been a screenshot released of the new start menu for Windows Build 9788. And I'm looking at this new start page, and I'm like, oh, my God, what are they doing? You know, I hate to say it, but it just gets worse and worse and worse for Windows. If this is what Windows 8 is going to look like, just give us the start menu back the way it works. You know, why screw up a good thing? And I just don't get it. I really don't. When you guys see this, you know, this is, you know, they're doing some stuff that's stupid enough here. Going to drive me just to go to Apple permanently. It really is. I don't understand what Microsoft is doing. They're really messing up, in my opinion. All right. eBay and Fine Art Auction House Sotheby's is going to team up to offer live bidding online. So if you want to buy fine antiques and stuff that cost more than probably, individual items that cost more than what I make in half a lifetime, they're going to be selling items between $5,000 and $100,000 via eBay live auction Sotheby's. So do you want some tea? Anytime someone says Sotheby's, it's like, oh my God, hold on to your wallet. Hey, Jack. Hey, listen up, Jack. This one's for you, buddy. There's a 787/9 Dreamliner that's doing some things that are pretty impressive. You got to see this video if you haven't seen it already, Jack. It's over on The Verge. I'll have it in the show notes for you. Any of you that are aviation enthusiasts, you need to watch this video. The takeoff on this thing is like, holy crap, is all I could say. The rate of climb is... pretty doggone impressive. This is not CGI. This is the real deal. Boeing is at the Farnborough Air Show this week, and it's one of the biggest trade exhibitions for the world's aircraft manufacturers. And this is a pretty awesome flight demonstration. So I would have loved to have been on the climb out on that thing. But Jack, look at the G's they're pulling on this thing on the turn. And you know, what do you think? Two and a half, three G's are pulling on some of those turns. Let me know, because I didn't think 787s could handle that. You know, that's not a G load I want to put on. Well, I guess it's going to face that from time to time, but the maybe the speed wasn't so high that the G rate isn't what it was, but it does look like a sit your back in the seat type of moment. All right. Lots of complaints about fair use takedowns. I have that link up in the show notes. Also, there's this Kickstarter going on right now called The Coolest Cooler. Just passed a $4 million Kickstarter event with more than a month ago. This cooler is ultimate geek cooler. I'm going to tell you here, this thing for $180, you're going to want one of these. You really are. And, there's a video showing it off, but, you're going to want to get involved with this particular Kickstarter. And, if it's got a battery pack in it, USB, port, speakers, place for the blender, all kinds of really, really cool stuff here. And it's got interesting tricks up its sleeve. This thing is going to be awesome. But again, the cheapest, coolest money can buy is $185 on Kickstarter. It's going to ship in February 2015. But anyway, watch the video, and I know you're going to want one of these, those of you that are beach enthusiasts that go. And I saw it and I thought, that's pretty cool, but I don't know if I want to spend $185 on a cooler. I think if I did, my wife would would not. Happy wife, happy life. Unhappy wife, unhappy life. That would be one of those unhappy wife, unhappy life issues. She'd say, how much did that cost? Oh, not too much. And she'd go digging through the expenses and see that $185 charge, and you know whose goose would be cooked. Hey, Microsoft to fight Chromebooks with a $99 PC. That's coming. That's a big announcement there, coming through HP this fall. Also, if you go to a hotel, do not use the hotel's PCs. If you do, you know, you really run a risk. Any public computer, don't log in and check your email. Don't use passwords on those. There's Secret Service has issued a warning to hotel operators to be on the lookout for malware that steals passwords and other sensitive data from guest PCs, guest using PCs in business centers. You know, if you're going to print your boarding pass, you can do that with your confirmation number. You don't have to use your login. You know, just don't use these machines anymore. They're very, very scary what's being done on those. CNET apparently also was attacked by Russian hackers and then basically downloaded a whole bunch of stuff, including user accounts. So if you had a user account over on CNET, you may want to change your password. They said, the hacker said, they're just doing it as a demonstration. They didn't mean to do any harm, and they don't want to encrypt the passwords for the user accounts. Also, the U.S. government wants to create an experimental city for testing wireless tech. You know, that's a hard thing to do. You know, whenever you try to use spectrum, any type of spectrum, you have to go through all kinds of approval processes, and there's spectrum managers in the United States, and it's a nightmare. And this is stuff that I had to used to work when I was active duty in the Navy. Thank God I don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. But spectrum approvals were basically, you want to use a certain frequency, they tell you what time you can use it, just basically so you don't interrupt other stuff. But the U.S. government has years been trying to encourage spectrum sharing as a way to getting more faster wireless connections around the country. And the idea is to convince organizations that own rights to transmit data over specific airwaves, such as the U.S. military and private TV broadcasters, allow some of their airwaves to be used by other people. So in a request for comment posted by two government agencies last week, the FCC and the National Telecommunication and Information Administration, NTIA, looking for basically a model city. Well, Hawaii would be pretty good. We're out here in the middle of nowhere. It'd be a great place for some spectrum test. Well, we've talked about the Google unlisting stuff that's been going on in Europe. Apparently, violent criminals and disgraced politicians are begging Google to forget them, and all kinds of crazy stuff go on over there. So if you want information on people in Europe, you may not find the information you're really looking for because it may be removed by Google. Also, Mr. Nadella at Windows, at Microsoft, put out another company memo, And basically, he said a lot of stuff, but not a lot about Windows. Apparently, like more than 60% through the article, it was a paragraph or so on Windows operating system, but the rest was talking about the cloud. Makes you go, okay, Microsoft's going to the cloud? That sounds kind of familiar. Chrome went to the cloud? Boy, I don't know about this cloud thing for everything. Scientists developed a black so deep it makes 3D objects look flat. This is huge from a variety of reasons. Those of you that are basically have backgrounds in optics know that in any optical system, whether it be a telescope, whether it be an infrared system, they really try to keep the multipath, basically when you have a sensor and it's looking at something, everything around it, they try to eliminate, they try to isolate that, the visible spectrum, I guess, or in, you know, basically what it does is they need this material to keep from, you know, the light from bouncing around, I guess, for a better word. But, this is very, very cool. Reflected light. That's what I want to say. Reflected light inside imaging devices is a major pain in the butt. Telescopes, they have to have developed thermal stability, all this stuff. So if this material works out, it could be a huge, huge deal to the imaging community. Telescopes, infrared turrets, a whole nine yards goes here. It could be significant advancements there. And basically isolating and reducing noise and all that stuff that goes on. MIT has a flying robot that keeps moving photo subjects bathed in light. Pro photographers can spend ages setting up lighting for a shoot. But I guess they've got a flying robot now that keeps the light on a victim. And then unmanned craft use a combination of LIDAR, and that's kind of cool, and the main camera's image to track objects to keep them bathed in just the right amount of rim lighting, whether they step across the room or just striking a new pose. And the robot also adapts to the photographer's movements, and there's even an aggressive mode that automatically takes a shot the moment the drone is in position. So this is kind of cool. LIDAR. You want to learn something cool today? Google LIDAR and read up on that. If you're looking to search for a specific GIF, GIFME is a search that's powered by users collecting and tagging over 450,000 GIFs. So go to gifme.io/search. Last couple articles here. Nickel and gadgets, a rash connection. Allergic reactions to nickel and some gadgets have been noticed for a while. Now, a medical journal report suggests a possible link between rashes and exposure to nickel in Apple iPads. So dermatologists have known for some time there's a connection between the presence of nickel and some gadgets and allergic reactions. My son's been having some issues, and this so made me go, And I've noticed he's one day he's like, oh, I'm itchy, but they played games a lot that day. So this really kind of gave me a little bit of an eyeball reaction here that maybe he has a nickel reaction. So we're going to get a case on the device he used and see if this itchiness goes down. It's on my youngest son. But if you're having kids that are having, or even you having any rashes break out and using your iPad without a cover, this might be the story here that might be going on with you. Also, a great article on Torrent Frank talking about how the American Bar Association released a white paper talking about suing file shares doesn't work, and talk about some remedies that could be made to stop some of the suing madness that's going on. Also, I got an email from some folks over at voices.com, and this is primarily for podcasts. I'll share this during my podcast show, but they've relaunched the Vox podcast after 5 years of not being online. And if you're looking for voice work, voices.com is a great place to go. I'm not being paid to endorse them. They did send me an email about their podcast restarting, and definitely get the link for that so that people can subscribe if they're interested, if you have a podcast. But very, very cool stuff today. That's the full show. I've went a long time today on the podcast. And there's not a lot of comments that have come in Got an email from Robert saying, hey, good substitute show by Don Bain, but I can't find show notes anywhere. Don really didn't produce any show notes. So I apologize like that. I'd like to see him perhaps as a sidekick to you. You each have a different style that could blend well together. Just a thought. We've been talking about doing a show together. So we're thinking about doing something, but it would be more pro related, and I really can't say more than that at this time. But Don is, and I really can't go into the details here. Don right now, due to family situation, doesn't have the extra time to do another show. So we're just making sure, you know, family comes first on anything that we do here, and any of our team members or any of our writers, and that's in that situation. So we're not going to push Don into doing another show with me. You know, at this point, Don needs more time with his family and with dealing with his situation there. Got an email from Roger. He said, just watch the show with Don B. It's pretty good. I like the addition of software and apps he brings to the show. I'm always afraid to download stuff because of virus, so I know he tests it before I can get screwed up. Watching your show for a long time, good stuff. Roger, thanks for being here. Roger Dodger. Roger the Dodger. That's pretty cool. Another email from Ben saying, excellent show with Don. He has a good mix of stuff. He does need a haircut and no show notes, but a good show. Yeah, I need a haircut too. I'm there. Todd is going to be Todd. Todd, you're going to have to tell me how to pronounce your last name. Todd Un. It's A-U-N-E. He's going to be bringing a new show here to Geek News Central. It's called The Elder Divide. And we hope to launch Todd's new show next week. I put the pressure on Angelo a week ago, get the doggone template done, because we need to launch Todd's new show on the 21st. And Todd, I want to thank you for your comment on having the family vacation. We're definitely looking forward to having you on as a new podcaster here with a new show starting next week. If everything goes right, we got our fingers crossed that the template's ready and we can launch your show. A lot of work's to be done between now and then because I got a couple more shows that we're going to be launching hopefully next week, or better word, migrating. So we'll be talking about Todd's show more here in the near future, but a lot of stuff coming to Geek News Central. So it's important, folks, that we're really work on those of you supporting the entire network by becoming part of the GNC 1000. And we'll have more details of that for the next show with some new links. And I definitely appreciate it. I got an email from Lester. Good show this week. I just watched it. I like the show with Don. I know we'll watch him on the Gadget Show. Have a good holiday. Again, another person said did not see the show notes. Got an email from Tenny. Said, Todd enjoyed Don being on the Gadget Show. Glad to have him back. Good mix of stuff. So everyone really loved Don's stuff. You can catch Don and the Gadget Professor. Be sure to subscribe to his and my show. Don does a show every Thursday, once a week, and he really does a great job over there. So listeners of this show love Don's show. And, of course, had some comments come in. I don't know why I didn't copy those over for Adrian and Mike as well. I'll get those in so they don't feel left out. But, again, big thanks to Don, Adrian, and Mike Dell for stepping in and doing the show here. I really, a lot of gratitude goes out. And, of course, you guys go on vacation, feel free to ask for some reciprocation. I'd be happy to do a show for you guys while you're out. But that's going to wrap me up here tonight, folks. We're really long. Thanks for hanging out with me. And I'm glad to be back. And still dealing with a little bit of jet lag. So we'll get over that. But we'll see you on Thursday, everyone. Take care. Geeknews@gmail.com. And if you want to leave a voice comment, there's a link on the website to do that. But for those of you that are new, get subscribed so you never miss. And sign up for the newsletter as well so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following this show. All right, folks, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.